All right, Numbers, chapter number 13. The book of Numbers and chapter number 13. I do appreciate the opportunity to get to preach again. Our heart is saddened because Brother Hall is not able to right now, but I got a good, strong feeling he'll be back in his place before long. Amen. And I thank the Lord for him. Thank God. You know, many times people don't understand everything. We on now, Brother Robert? Not? Okay, I slipped off of it. There we go. Now we're on. Many times people don't understand about men of God, and they don't understand what they got until they don't have it anymore. And God give me a heart of love for the men of God. And I know some people think I take it to an extreme and try to worship the man. I don't. But I thank God for our man of God, and that's why I wanted to be with him. Amen, during this time. And I might not can do much, but be another burden pass out on him, as he was talking about. Don't know why that happened, really. Never have been fearful of the sight of blood or needles, but when that thing, when I thought it broke off in his arm, it was all she wrote. But, you know, you just kind of got to know the whole story, and I don't want to get into it, but when he couldn't get blood through that needle, and then all of a sudden that thing I thought broke, which it didn't, it retracted, but when it come out of there, blood started coming out, I was like, oh no, you know. But I do thank God for the fact that he did raise Brother Hall back up at this time and brought him back to the house of God. And I trust the Lord to bless us, those of us that fill in for him while he is out, that we'll give you something that will help you during this time. I know it's not your pastor, but I trust we can give you something from the Word of God that will help you. All right, Numbers chapter number 13. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture before we pray and ask God to help us. All right, today, this is something that's been burning on my heart for at least 9 months. And I felt I had four thoughts on my heart I worked on yesterday. We labored in the Word of God yesterday alone for over 9 hours, trying to find what mind of God and where He wanted us to be and what He wanted us to preach. And I woke up this morning with this thought on my heart, so we completed it this morning and trusted that's what God wanted for you. All right. The book of Numbers, chapter number 13 and verse number 33 for one verse of Scripture in your hearing. But we will be preaching through chapter 13 and chapter 14. All right. The Bible said, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessed privilege and opportunity that we have to be able to try to proclaim thy word of God again today. And I do pray, Lord, for your help as I stand as a needy servant. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd fill me today, Lord, and you'd anoint the Word of God that it might go forth and do that work upon the hearts and the ears of those that hear. I pray, dear God, that you give us all ears to hear today. Lord, I pray that you'd rebuke the opposing power of Satan. I pray, Lord, you'd drive him from this place, and may your perfect work be done in each and every heart and every life. I pray for those listening by the way of the radio. I pray, Lord, you'd strengthen them, encourage them as well, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray today, and for your sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Numbers chapter number 13 and Numbers chapter number 14 is probably not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture to those of you that are here, especially those who have been members here for any length of time. I'm confident Brother Hall has brought many messages pertaining to these thoughts that we'll be bringing out today. But I trust the Lord to help us to be able to give you the thought that He laid upon our heart. If I'm not mistaken, it was at the end of last June that God gave me this particular thought. And I wrote it down here in the flyleaf of my Bible, and I've not been able to get away from it. And I trust that God will use it today to help you. The title of the message today is Defeated Before Being Defeated. Amen. We as the children of God lots of times are defeated before the battle ever gets to raging. We're defeated before we ever go to war. And I'm confident that many of us have been that away today. And I'll just be honest with you, I won't go into details, but the devil tried to destroy me last night. I almost called Brother Hall at midnight last night and told him I couldn't preach today. I mean, the devil has been on me since I pretty much had concluded this was probably going to be the message, and the devil has not let me rest. And I want to say that many times we become defeated before we ever actually get into the battle. Amen. And I want to try to show you with the help of the Lord in the Scriptures today of how and why the children of Israel were defeated before they ever were defeated, but then the conclusion of that defeat. All right, with the Lord's help. The Bible shows us in verses number 1 and following in the book of Numbers, chapter number 13 this morning, that God has given the children of Israel a place that He wants them to obtain. We commonly call it Canaan land. And, you know, that land of victorious Christian life. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but lest I do fail to say it later on at the conclusion of the message, I want to say this land is a land that we can have victory in living for Christ. It does not mean there will not be more battles. It does not mean that we still don't need the protection of God. But it does mean we can have peace with God, that He is with us, and He has given us that land that we might enjoy the pleasures that He has for us. Amen. In this life. And God does expect us to have pleasures in this life, but our pleasures are to be those found in the Word of God at the right hand of the Lord. In the Word of God. Psalm 16 and verse number 11. The Bible said here in Numbers 13 and verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Now, I'm not going to take time to read verses 4 through 15 and show my complete ignorance of English pronunciation. But the fact is, here he's picked one of the leaders out of each tribe and placed them as what we commonly call, and what the Bible calls, spies to go spy out the land of Canaan. And before this time, we know, of course, the history of the children of Israel, and we know how God has brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and how God has tried them and tested them many times, and I believe, if I'm correct in understanding the Scriptures, 9 times up to this point, that God has helped them and delivered them through many hard times. And in this particular passage of Scripture, we're going to find this is the 10th time, and the number 10 is the number of testimony. And I want to say that sometimes we might disbelieve God too many times. Amen. God is a God of many chances. I don't want to say He's just a God of second chances, because I know He gives many chances. God is long-suffering and God is merciful. But many times we put God to the test and we provoke Him to be angry with us. And we need to be careful in doing so, because there's going to come a line that we're going to pass that God's going to say, "All right, that's enough. I'm done with this." Amen. And we're going to find that here in a little bit. But we see God's brought them up out of the children of Israel. He's led them through many wilderness journeys, brought them across the Red Sea. Many occasions God has helped them and delivered them in their time of life. Amen. They come to a place they didn't have bread to eat, so God gave them manna. They wanted flesh. They wasn't satisfied with the bread, so God gave them quail to the filling for a whole month. Till it was even coming out of their nostrils. And the Bible said that even while the meat was still stuck in their teeth, they complained and murmured against God. Do we not find ourselves sometimes in the same condition as the children of Israel? God blesses us and God helps us and delivers us through many trials and temptations, but yet we still complain sometimes on God and what He has done. I want to show you some things with the Lord's help. I'll not be real long this morning, but I want to show you some things with the Lord's help that God did for the children of Israel, why they did what they did, and what God ended up doing because of those circumstances. I want to say, number one, many people are defeated today before being defeated. Amen. If you can get the gist of that title, before you ever go to battle, before the victory has been lost, and I want to say right here and interject this part, we are already winners. Amen. God is already the winner, the victor, amen, over everything. And the Bible said that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know, humanly, I know sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we feel defeated, as I'm preaching today, before we're even defeated. And many times we kind of go off and we just forget about what God is doing. And that's what the children of Israel did here. I see, firstly, that they had a lack of confidence in God's command. They did not believe what God had said. God said, I'm going to bring him unto a land, amen, of joy and comfort and peace and gladness. God has promised him all this time that he was going to bring them out of Egypt, take them to the land of Canaan, and give them a good life in the things of the Lord. And the Bible said here that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. God done said he was giving it to them. He didn't say, I'll give it to them if they'll do this or if they'll do that. I'm giving them this land. And Brother Steve brought it out a little bit in the Sunday school this morning. That land, I believe in typology, is the land that we need to be in our spiritual life today. Being filled with the Spirit of God, having the joy and the pleasure of God in our heart and in our life, even though there's battles and temptations and trials that come our way, we can have a victorious Christian life. Amen. And he said here in verse number 3, and Moses, by that commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So we find here that God's command to the children of Israel was, I'll give you the land of Canaan. I'm going to give you this land. So we see that they did not have confidence in the word of the Lord, as I preached on the other Wednesday night about the storms of God and how the storms came, and the disciples did not have that confidence in what the Lord said. The Lord said, get in the ship and go to the other side. And he wouldn't have told them to do something that he was not going to help them do. Amen. And when God tells us to do something, folks, he's going to help us accomplish that he's told us to do. I know without him we can do nothing, but God's not going to give us any kind of a command or any promise that he's not going to help us in order to bring his name, honor, and glory. So we need to have confidence in God's command. The lack of the faith that the children of Israel had here as they began in this journey, as they began to go to spy out this land, they're proving their lack of faith in God's command. God said, I'm going to give you the land. You go spy it out. I want you to go spy it out. I want you to know where they're at. I want you to know what's there. And I personally believe this, and I'm going to get ahead of myself right here, but I personally believe God wanted them to see the blessings of the land to help encourage them to go on and fight the battle. Amen. But the fact is that we see that they lost their confidence, or they had a lack of confidence in what God said he would do. God said, I'm going to give you the land. Secondly, they had a lack of confidence in God's counsel. God's man, he told Moses, Moses, you tell them. And Moses did in verse number 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land that it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage. Boy, that phrase really stuck out to me, and I couldn't help. And matter of fact, I'm just going to go over there right now and do it. Amen. I could not help but think of Joshua. Amen. And what God told Joshua there in chapter number 1 of the book of Joshua, after Moses has passed now and he's raising Joshua up to be the leader of the children of Israel. Notice what he said to Joshua here in verse number 5 of chapter number 1 of the book of Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Did you notice what God said to Joshua? Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And of course, verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But I want to say to us today, church, that we're not going to have that without being confident in the Lord and being confident in the counsel that He's placed before us. God has given us a man of God to counsel us from the Word of God, to strengthen us in our Christian life, in our spiritual living, and we ought to take heed to it and follow that command. I see that counsel not only came from Moses in verses 1 through 3 and verses 17 through 20, but I find that that counsel also came from Caleb. Caleb said in verse number 30, if you'd look there with me, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. If I can put it this way, he said, hey folks, listen up a minute, I got something very important to say. He said, look here what he said. The Bible said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And you know, you've read about Caleb. You know he had a different spirit. Amen. The Bible said he had another spirit with him. That is the Spirit of God. And Caleb was a man of faith. Amen. A special man of God, that God had given him special strength. Amen. Given him a special help that he needed. And God gave him the mountain that he asked for. Amen. I believe at the age of 80. And he took that mountain, and he was just as strong then as he was when they came here this time. Amen. Now the Bible tells us here that Caleb gave them some wise counsel. And I want to ask you something today. Has your confidence become lack in God's command and in the counsel that God has given from the men of God and from the people of God, from the Word of God? I mean, we need to make sure our counsel is right. Amen. I agree with that 110%. But the Bible said, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And we need to be careful about just jumping on any one person's bandwagon and following them totally. Amen. We need to be careful about just listening to whatever somebody says. Check it out in the Word of God. If it's true, amen, follow what God said, follow. And you know my stand with the man of God. I'm not trying to discredit that. I'm just telling you that just because some preacher comes by and preaches something that sounds good don't mean that he is a man of God and he's leading you in the right direction. Amen. But Caleb here had been there. He had spied out the land. He was a child of God. Amen. He was a leader here of one of the tribes of the nation of Israel. And God had put him there for a purpose and a reason. And he came back and he gives some wise counsel. Amen. It'd do us good to have some wise counsel. And that wise counsel comes from the Word of God. Notice what his counsel was. He didn't say, let's go up because, I can do it myself. He didn't say, go up because we're strong. I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. But he said, we can go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Why? Because if you'll go on and read down through here, you're going to find that the Lord was with them in chapter 14. He said, God is with us. And if God's with us and God is for us, why should we not go up? But I believe it was Brother Steve used maybe a thought out of this particular chapter in chapter 14 when he talked about presumptuous sin, but they presume to move without God. Amen. A little bit later on we'll find that out. But the fact is here, they had a lack of confidence in God's command and God's counsel. God gives the man of God to counsel his flock. God gives him the Word of God. God counsels him. He counsels the people. Amen. And they receive that help and that source of walking that they need, spiritual walk for their life. Amen. As a Christian. Secondly, I see here they had a loss of courage. I told you, and I went to Joshua chapter number 1 and read that a while ago, because God told Joshua to stay courageous. God told Joshua he was going to have to be courageous. Amen. He said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I can't imagine living back in those days. I know what it's like when the Spirit of God moves on us now. But I can't imagine what it would have been like to be back in those days, like with Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah threw that mantle down and Elisha picked it up, and he went back and said, where is the God of Elijah? And he smote that water and it parted, and he began to walk through. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it would be wonderful if we could just say, man of God, let your spirit fall on me. It just don't work that way. God has given us a desire that we ought to have as a child of God to get under the burden and the load with a man of God. This is another thought God gave me close to a year ago. And God give, if you'll take time to back up a chapter or two, you'll find where God give Moses because the load got so heavy to carry that God give him 70 elders there amongst the children of Israel. And I understand they had a multitude of people, alright. Over 600,000 men, able men, to go to war. Not to mention all the women and the children and those that wasn't able to go to war. But the fact is, God had a lot of people there and Moses had so much on him. And God said, alright, this is what I'm going to do, and he did it. And the Bible said that God gave them the spirit of Moses. And I would to God, fellas, today that we, as the Island Poor Baptist Church, that we get the same spirit by praying and asking God to help us with it, and we get under the same spirit, the same load as the man of God, and help bear some of those burdens. Amen. As a result of what we just seen take place, he's getting a little older and his body's getting a little more feeble, and he needs help. Amen. He don't need us to be a burden. He needs help for us to be a bearer of the burden. Amen. As Nehemiah said. But the courage. They lost their courage in the Word of God, in the things of the Lord. How do you know that, preacher? Well, if you'll look with me in verses number 20. Let's finish reading a little bit down to verse number 26. The Bible said in verse number... Let's see, where did I leave off reading a while ago? Verse number 19. Let's start back there. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch. Get this now. Get a hold of what they said. Get a hold of the truth of the Word of God here. They cut down a branch from that tree there, that cluster, with one cluster of grapes. One. And they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. I mean, one cluster of grapes, so big, so heavy, amen, so full of juice and meat of the grape, that it took two men to carry it. So it wouldn't wear worn out. I mean, I know that's been brought out to you before. I know that's nothing new. But we need to get a hold of the truth of that. I mean, God has given these spies that have went down to spy out the land of Canaan, He's given them some results of what they can have when they get to this place, if they'll just go there and, if I can put it this way, battle and beat the socks off these guys, alright, and run them on out of that land. But the Bible said the place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now get this. Now this is something I don't understand altogether about, and I wasn't able to do a lot of reading on a particular subject. But I don't understand why in the world these 12 spies went down to Canaan, and they partook of the fruit, and they walked amongst the people. I mean, no doubt that they had to have some kind of intermingling there. In the same fact, and they did that for 40 days. But yet they were scared to death to go down there with some over 600,000 able-bodied men to fight war. I never had seen that before. And God brought that to my attention this morning even as I was looking over this again. And I see that they with the children of Israel, had a sum of over 600,000 men of war. And after they've been down there for 40 days with just 12 of them and intermingling and doing their thing and getting their grapes and their figs and their pomegranates, and they was coming back to give the result of the land, of their spying out the land, and they wasn't fearful, it didn't seem, to be down there when they was just there. But yet when they come back, it's too much for us. I believe God gave them some great blessings here from the land to encourage them to go on. But you know what happened? In verses 26 through verses number 33, we find that, number one, they began to depend upon themselves. We cannot depend upon ourselves in this battle. We'll be defeated before being defeated if we're depending upon ourselves. Look what the Bible said in verse number 26 and following. The Bible said, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." You'd be appalled if y'all would go home, if you got a Bible program or you got some books on this. You'd be appalled to go home and read what some of the men had to say about this. I mean, they talk about how this land was diseased and how it couldn't produce it. This and that and the other. But the Bible said it was a land that floweth with milk and honey. Amen. It was a land that produced a cluster of grapes so big, so heavy, that two men had to carry it on a pole. Amen. I want to say to you that whatever God has for His children will be bountiful for what we need. Amen. We don't have to worry about skimping by. Amen. We don't have to worry about just getting by the hair of our chinny chin chin. God has got some blessings for His people if we'll just surrender to do what God wants us to do. Amen. We don't need to lose courage today, church. We don't need to lose courage in the things of the Lord. I know we can't depend upon ourselves. And I know that without the Christ and without Jesus helping us, that we can do nothing. I know the Bible tells us that. And I know that's true. But I'm telling you, we need to get our eyes back on Him and not on the giants. Amen. When David went to fight that Philistine, Goliath, he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." Amen. Amen. He had his eyes and his hope fixed in the Lord. Amen. He wasn't worried about necessarily that stone. He wasn't worried necessarily about that sling. When the king asked him why in the world did he think he could go to this battle and he might whip this giant, he said, "When I was watching my father's sheep," he said, "there came a lion and there came a bear. And I defeated them with my bare hands. And this Philistine, because he has defied the armies of the living God, and God himself, he'll be no different as one of them. I'll kill that buzzard too." Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that he took courage. He didn't lose his courage because his courage was in God. Amen. He knew that the Spirit of God had came upon him and he slew that lion and bear before. And if God did it once, he can do it again. Now we say we believe that. We say that we believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. But we live today like God ain't able to meet our needs today like He met their needs back then. Man, God is still able. God is able to give us the courage to believe Him, that we might have that faith to walk in and continue to fight our battles that God allows us to come to and give us the victory that we might walk in victorious Christian living. Amen. They depended upon themselves. Notice what He's saying here in verse number 28. "Nevertheless, the people be strong." You know, he said, "This land flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." You know, he's showing them all the goodness of the land. He's telling them about all the good things. But then notice where he goes. "Nevertheless." Well, you know, them grapes sure are great. You know, the figs and the pomegranates sure are plentiful. It sure would be a good place for us to dwell, but nevertheless. Even though the fruit of the land is so good, he said, "The people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he said they saw a people that was strong and dwelled in the land. They were looking at it in their own aspect. What can I do? I mean, these people are strong. I'm not as strong as they are. Hey, man, I can't do what they can do. They was looking at the people and they was looking at themselves. And that will discourage us. Amen. That will bring us to a place that we cannot win the battle. But notice here what's going on. He said they dwell in the land. You look up that word dwell and that don't mean to just, go there and stay for a week or two. It means to reside. To resort thither. And, he said these people made up their mind. They're not giving up the plenty of this land. That's what he's telling the leaders here of Israel. He's saying, you know, these people are dwelling in this land. In other words, these people ain't going to walk away without a fight. These people are planning on staying there for the rest of their days. And I want to say to you today, church, and to you, child of God, that might be listening by way of radio, the devil's not going to give up ground easy. Amen. He don't want you to live in victory. He don't want you to have the joy of God. He don't want you to have the peace of the Lord in your life, no matter what comes your way. Jesus said, I give unto you peace, not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, I have overcome the world. Amen. I want to say that we need to not depend on self, but depend on our Savior, our Deliverer, amen, Christ. He said these people are strong and they dwell in the land. They're not going to give up. And the cities are walled and very great. In other words, they wasn't just living in tents. Amen. They didn't just have a bunch of shrubs out circling the town, the area. They had some walls that would have to be broken down. They had some walls that would have to be overcome. But I want to say to you, child of God, there might be some walls in your path this morning. There might be some walled cities that you're trying to get to in order to get to that victorious Christian life in you or in your life. But I want to say, when you get over that wall, remember, you're on the inside and those walls are protecting you. Amen. Amen. I got ahead of myself. That's all right. It needed to be right there. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God has got protection for the child of God. And we might fight a battle to get there, but once we get there, thank God, there'll be some walls that are very great to help us. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said not only did they depend on themselves, and he talked about how the walls were, the cities were walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Hey, we saw some giants down there in that land. We saw some folks that, they could step on us if they wanted to, and we're done. They don't have to fight. All they got to do is step on us. I mean, there's some folks down here just walk right over top of us, but I'm confident there wasn't 600,000 of them. I'm confident of that. The Bible doesn't say how many were there, but I'm confident there wasn't nowhere near what the children of Israel had. God will never send you to do a job that He won't be sufficient for you. Amen. And the Bible said that they were dependent on themselves. That's the reason why they came back with this ill report. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. He said, there's three different groups of people, and they're dwelling in three different areas. And he said, there's no way that we can go in there and fight them, because when we go in, they'll all just surround us and kill us. Well, I won't say the devil's always walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But if you'll get in there and fight the battle that the Lord wants you to fight with His help, you will not be overtaken. Notice here what he said in verse number 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. The faith that Caleb had. And it wasn't the faith of, I can do it. Praise God, whether the rest of you do it or not. We don't need that faith. We shouldn't have to have that kind of faith. When a man of God says, church, I believe God wants us to do this, and I believe we can do this, then it ought to be a group effort. Amen. We ought to follow the man of God as he's followed God and go on with the Lord. Caleb didn't say, I can do it. He said, we can do it. Amen. I don't want to give it away, but one of the messages that the Lord allows us, maybe that we preach on next, will be on unity. But I want to tell you, the devil cannot and will not be able to defeat unity. If you're united with the Lord and you're united with those of like faith, the devil cannot break you down. Amen. You have to give that up on your own. Notice here, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Caleb saw the same thing these people saw. Or these people saw the same thing Caleb saw. Amen. And Caleb said, we can go. But 10 of them said, we can't. Now, you know as well as I know, as a general rule, amen, if one or two people said we can do this, preacher, amen, we, with the help of God, we can. God is with us and we can overcome this and we can fight this battle and win. But if everybody else in the church is against it, we're going to have problems, ain't we? And that's the situation Caleb and Joshua was in. They was for it. The rest of them were against it. And we're going to get to that in chapter number 14 here in just a moment. But you've got to be for what God is for. I want to say that not only did they lose courage because they were dependent upon themselves, but in verse number 32 I find that they lost courage because of the discouraging sayings of the spies. He said, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. I mean, discouraging words. I mean, when you use discouraging words, amen, it's going to discourage those you're speaking to. You need to use words of encouragement, words of exhortation, words that will cause others to gain some strength, gain some faith, and believe God. Amen. I know there's got to be a negative and positive on everything, but it don't always have to be negative. Now, I'm learning that after several years of my life, but I'm learning that there are some positive things. Amen. And we need to be positive about going with God and getting to the land where God wants us to inhabit and live in our Christian life spiritually. Amen. God doesn't expect us to walk around here all the time and come in here every time church goes on and live every day in our life with a pooch mouth disease. Amen. And just go on like we're just going to die and that we're never going to have any joy and that God can't do anything for us. God wants us to be happy today. God wants us to praise Him. God wants us to glorify His name. And we're not going to do that when those people out there in the world don't see a difference in those that claim to be a child of God. What makes you think they're going to want part of what we got? Amen. We need to have some happiness about us. And these people came back with an evil report. They said the land's eating up the inhabitants. They tried to say that the land wasn't no count after they just got through saying it was flowing with milk and honey. After they brought back a cluster of grapes and the figs and the pomegranates, they said, well, this land ain't no good for us. Contrast. I mean, you know, they was contradicting their own selves. And I want to say that we as a child of God, lots of times I find that we contradict our own selves. We say God is able, but we live like He's done forsook us. We say God's going to deliver us, but we already made provisions for the defeat. Amen. Somebody once said, if you're making provisions for that, it's probably going to happen. And I agree with that terminology. If you're planning for something bad to go wrong, it's probably going to go wrong. Amen. We need to have a positive attitude. We need to have a positive spirit about God and what God can do for us and what God is going to do for us. Amen. God is able. You know, I couldn't help but think back to the marathon. You know, Thursday, very low numbers. Friday, very low numbers. But we just kept trying to pray and believe in God and just believing that God would. And He did. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we can always look at the doom and the gloom. But let's look on the bright side for once. Amen. Amen. Let's look unto Christ. Let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And he there was a joy in his heart, even though there was a pain and a suffering and a grief that he had to endure. There was a joy. And that was that people would be saved by his work that he performed on the cross. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that they were discouraged because of the sayings of these 10 people. We got Caleb saying, let's go. We're able to take it. 600,000 plus. I think it's mentioned actually how many in the Word of God, but one time when I was reading, I got to taking a piece of paper and a pen and got to writing down all the numbers that they took out of each tribe. It was able-bodied for war. And got to writing all down, added up. You know what? Bible and my math added up just right. Amen. But it tells you how many people there were exact, 600 plus thousand though. Amen. People able to go to war. And they were concerned about a few giants. Yeah. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we don't need to say things that would be discouraging to someone. We need to say things that would encourage someone. Amen. I read, I don't remember if I instituted in the Sunday school lesson here the other week or not, But I read one of the sayings, and I believe it was by Spurgeon. I don't remember that for certain, so don't hold me to that. But I read a saying, and it was something like this. It was saying, encourage someone where they're wrong to do right. In other words, encourage them to do right, and don't reprove them of their wrong until they start doing right, and then let them know where they was wrong. Now, if you think about that, it makes some sense. I understand there's got to be some reproof of sin in people's lives. I understand that. But I'm saying just as an admonishing of the brother. Maybe it's not that they're doing anything sinful as far as going out here and committing acts of sin. But maybe they're just not being as wholehearted for the Lord as they ought to be. And we could say an encouraging word to exhort them to get wholehearted. And then as what this writer said, then we could let them know where they wasn't being wholehearted. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Don't give them the discouraging word. Give them an encouraging word. Amen. Encourage one another in the things of the Lord. They were defeated before being defeated because they lost their courage. I want to say thirdly, they were defeated before being defeated because of their lips of complaint. We need to be careful about complaining to the Lord. Complain about the Lord. Complain about God's man. The Bible said, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight. Notice here, this is the thing that got me when the Lord showed this to me, when I read it, and, you know, they stuck with me. We saw in our own sight that we were as grasshoppers. And I'm not saying that we're supposed to lift ourselves up on a pedestal, and I'm not saying, that we've got to believe in ourselves in the sense of that we can do it without God's help. And folks, if we're always putting ourselves down, how do we ever expect to do anything for the Lord? I understand we've got to be humble, but I'm talking about just being critical of ourselves. Amen. These people said we were as grasshoppers in our own sight. I mean, we didn't think that we could, we could make it. We were as grasshoppers in our own sight. They looked at themselves and condemned themselves before the battle ever even began. We saw in our own sight that we were as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And people didn't say, you look like a bunch of grasshoppers. You're just a bunch of little folks. This is their speculation. And I can tell you first and foremost by experience, and my wife can say amen to this, speculation will cause you problems. When you're always speculating what somebody's going to think about you, how somebody's going to react to what you do, then you have problems. She told me a point. I said, I don't know if I can do it still. I mean, I was just down and discouraged about it. She said, won't you just go in there and just preach like you used to preach and don't worry about what they're going to think or what they might think. And I know that we're supposed to be that way, but sometimes it's still hard to overcome. Amen. Especially when you're trying to stand in a place where a veteran of 22 plus years at this church alone has been preaching the Word of God and knows more than you've ever learned in your past 18 years. The Bible said here, he said they had a lip of complaint. In chapter number 14 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why? Because they were fearful about losing a battle that they hadn't even got involved in. Surely nobody here today or nobody listening to the sound of my voice that's already crying to God about losing a battle that you hadn't already started. Amen. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And God's going to give them their wishes. God's going to answer their prayer in just a little bit. I'll get to it. But God said, I'm going to give them what they want. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and died. Amen. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And notice here now what they're using our children for a crutch. They said, we didn't need to leave Egypt because our children now is going to die out here. Our children can't withstand going without food. And our children can't withstand going without water. And our children might get killed if we go into that battle. What's going to happen to our children? You quit worrying about your children, worry about obeying God, and God will take care of the children. And to prove to this bunch, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but to prove to this bunch that God would take care of their children, He took them and left them in the wilderness, let them wander for 40 years and die, and took their children back into the land of Canaan. And let them experience the joys and the blessings of God. You know, and I've thought this for several years. I don't know that it would be like that in every church, but I've thought this for several years in the past. I thought, well, God might just have to let us all wander for about 40 years and let all the older folks die off that have quit on God, don't want to go no further, and the new ones raise them up to go on with God. And I'd say Brother Hall is probably close to believing that if he don't believe that, because he talks about how God probably is going to start a revival through the young people. Amen. It don't mean that the older people's not right with the Lord. It don't mean that they don't love God necessarily, but they're just wore out. Hey, the devil's doing his job well today, church. He's wearing out the saints of God. No matter what you think about it and how you feel about it, he is wearing us out. And if we don't get our eyes back on the Lord and get into the place in our spiritual life of living in a land of Canaan, a land of victory, a land of joy, a land of peace and comfort that only God can give, then we're not going to last. Amen. Amen. But their lips of complaint. Notice now what he said in verse number 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Uh-oh. You better watch that bunch now. It wants to go against the man of God. Well, we need somebody else to lead us. This man is not capable anymore. He's brought us out of Egypt, took us through the wilderness, crossed the Red Sea, blah, 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 more, more, more. And we come out here and now he's going to let us die. Well, it ain't his fault that they're not living in victory. It's theirs. They wouldn't go up. So you better watch that person that's always wanting to look about getting another head. Problem is, they probably want to be a head. The Bible said here in verse number 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Thank God for two men of God that were willing to stand with the men of God and try to help bear the load. And try to help persuade the people to follow righteousness. The Bible said, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Now, if I understand the scripture correctly, they still had another chance to do what God wanted them to do. He said, it's still a good land, exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Got a different report now, don't we? They brought back the Hebrew report, talking about how strong the people were, how they dwelt in the land, how there was walled cities, and how they were very great, and how the children of the giants were there. Notice what Caleb said. And Joshua said, he said, let's go. He said, don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. God's already given him the assurance that they're going to be his sustenance. Amen. Notice here what else he said. He said, their defense has departed from them. He said, they don't even have no defense. He said, we could take them with ease. Be a piece of cake. I wonder how many times it really would have been a piece of cake to live in victory. But yet we let the devil have it. Amen. The Bible said here, their defense departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. He said, the Lord's on our side. Why should we fear them? You know, if our God be for us, who can be against us? And the Bible said that we ought not fear man that's able to destroy the body, but rather fear Him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell fire. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we need to get back in tune with the Lord and make sure our eyes are upon Him, our faith is in Him, and that we're following what He has said to do. But all the congregation, notice here what they said. This was amazing. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. killed Joshua and Caleb. Therefore, the men of God. Killed Joshua and Caleb. They're talking out of their head. They're making us look bad. Two saying we can take this place. Two saying we can win this battle. Two saying we can have the joys and the blessings that God has blessed this land with. But, you know, we need to kill them because they're making us look bad. Get rid of them. Stone them. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse number 11, how long will this people? Church, don't let God come to this place in your life. Don't let God come to this place in my life. Don't let God come to this place in your individual life. How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? There is not a one of us in this church building of age and of accountability today that can't stand and thank God for something He has done for us through the past. I'm talking about a miracle that only God could have performed and worked out. But yet we act like today He can't do it. We act like today He just can't take care of us. You know, I remember when we first started coming up here and joined and everything, I remember Miss Donna over here testifying about how God had met their need month by month, week by week. I mean, they didn't know how they were going to pay this bill and pay that bill and get groceries and do this and that and the other. And I could rejoice with her when she would stand up and bless God for what He had done for them, because I've been there and God's done that for me. And if God's done it for us, He can do it for you. And if God's done that for us, He can do something else for us again. Amen. And I know I'm speaking from experience. I know I get discouraged. I know I get disheartened. And I know that I have to remind myself of this. And I, like this morning, my wife has to remind me sometimes as well, amen, that God is able. But I want to say He's able. Amen. God is able. Hallelujah. Let's leave off the lips of complaint. Their lips of complaint. He said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Boy, God was mad, wasn't He? God was very angry with what was going on here. And if I can just paraphrase, He said, Moses, let me wipe them out. I'll raise you up. I mean, God said, I'll just create you a new bunch of people and you can go on. Amen. These are a bunch of stiff-necked, hard-headed, rebellious people. How many times do we find ourselves in that place? Let me skip over some of this or we'll be here to 2:00. He said in verse number 19, Moses, of course, intercedes for the people of God. And you better believe that your man of God is interceding for you. Amen. You can't exalt the man of God too much in the right way. He's worthy of double honor. He's not worthy to be bowed down to and worshiped, but He's worthy of double honor. And a man of God that loves you and prays for you, and I'm confident Brother Hall does, and a man of God that loves you and prays for you and preaches to you and gives you the truth, you ought to exalt him as such. Amen. He said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. He said, Lord, you've already forgiven them many times. He said, forgive them again. I wonder how many times Brother Hall's prayed that just since I've been here. Maybe even for me and my family. Lord, I know you forgave them before. Forgive them again. Help them to see what they need. Better be thankful for the man of God. Amen. Notice verses 20 now and following. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. According to what you said, Moses, I am of great mercy. And because you've asked me to do it, I'm going to do it. But notice what he said. But as truly as I live, he said, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Amen. Of course, you know the story. I'm not going to take time to read a lot more. I'm going to read just a little bit more in a minute. But God said there's a consequence, folks, for rebellion. When you rebel against doing what God wants you to do, there's a consequence. And when you go against the man of God, you go against God, the man of God, and the people of God, and the will of God for your life, you can mark it down. God's going to write you off one day. And He's going to say, all right, that's it. I'll pardon them, but they're not going to enter in. And He took them out to the wilderness and let them wander a year for every day that they scouted out the land, spied the land, which was 40 days. So He let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years as their judgment, amen, as their tribulation. And God killed them in the wilderness.
Amen.
And then their children, 19 and under, all those 19 and under, and Joshua and Caleb, not Moses, not Aaron. I taught in Sunday school Numbers 20 there this past Sunday. And God killed them. God didn't let them go. But those 19 and younger went. I wonder how many of us are going to this land I'm preaching about this morning. I'm not talking about heaven, church. I'm talking about that Spirit-filled life. Living in the joy and the peace of the Lord. Notice here what He said in verses 26 through 34, I'm not going to take time to read it all, but we see that their lips of complaint resulted in despair. These people said, God is saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? But notice here what He said, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, remember what their excuse was for not wanting to go fight in the land? What about our children? What's going to happen to them going this way? God said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to them. You're going to die, but they're going to survive.
Amen.
But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty despairing to me. Despairing, I mean, could you imagine? God is telling these people this through Moses. God has told them this 40 years before it's going to happen. Can you imagine living 40 years of your life knowing that God's not going to let you ever have victory? God's not going to let you have joy? God's not going to let you have peace? God's not going to let you have comfort as He can? Amen. But God is going to rather yet let you wander in a wilderness in turmoil and tribulation until you die? I mean, am I preaching the book? That's what He did to the children of Israel. I want to say not only did it result in despair, but it resulted in that death. In verses 35 and following, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed. And there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those, and of course a slander is an untruth, right? Or something that even could be possibly true, but be drawn out of where it needs to be. In other words, be exaggerated to make it sound worse than what it was. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Boy, isn't it amazing how when the man of God gives the message and says, judgment's coming, that they want to get right. Oh, it's time to weep and mourn then. It's time to do right then, but it's too late. Look here what he said. The Bible said that the people mourned greatly, verse number 40, and they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. The Lord did promise them that place, and they did sin, and here they are trying to repent. I want to say to you today, church, there is a sin that you cannot repent of. There's sometimes going to be things that's going to come in your life that you can repent all you want to repent of, but there's not going to be a sacrifice for that sin. In other words, an atonement of it. Amen. God might forgive you, but you're still going to suffer the consequence. You're going to reap what you sow, if we put it in biblical terms. Amen. The Bible said they have sinned. Moses said, "Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper." He said, "I'm telling you, folks, you done went too far. God's done said it's over. Don't do this. It's not wise." He said, "Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah." You mark it down. You rebel against God so many times, but when God says, "All right, that's it," that's it. You can presume upon God. You can try to claim a promise from the Word of God all you want to, but God's judgment is done started, and it's done. He's not going to change it. I didn't read it, but back in verse number 34, the last part there, he's talking to those children of Israel there. He said, "Ye shall know my breach of promise." He didn't break it. They did. They caused him to have to change what he had initially planned to do. Couldn't let them go, but he let their children go.
Amen.
Amen. Resulted in death. Now I want to say quickly, in closing, this land, I've already made mention of this, but this land is a land of joy and peace and comfort and blessings, all right? But I want to say three things that will help us to have the victory. Number one is to believe God. Paul, when he was on the ship sailing toward Rome, what did he say to those shipmen when he came out? He said, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God."
Amen.
I will say to us today, those that are listening to the sound of my voice, we need to learn to believe God.
Amen.
That sounds easy, but I know sometimes it's hard. But learn to believe God. Secondly, we need to learn to obey authority.
Amen.
God didn't put authority in our figures in our life for no reason. It's a rule that God has through the Word of God to help us and keep us safe and keep us right in the life of the Lord. And God gives us a man of God, if I bring it on down to the church house, God gives us a man of God that He has placed here in that authority to lead us and instruct us in righteousness from the Word of God. We need to learn to obey that authority. Of course, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Your days be long. I mean, there's many promises God gives if you'll be obedient. And obedience is, I believe, the number one evidence of salvation. Thirdly, we need to remember the blessings. If we want to have victory, remember the blessings. You know, if these people had said, you know, he'd come back and there hadn't been a cluster of grapes that big, if there hadn't been figs and pomegranates, if there hadn't been the fact that they had over 600,000 able men to go to war, you know, I might could see some discrepancy of them maybe wanting to have a logical reasoning of saying, "We can't go." But I mean, when they saw the blessings of God in that land, and they knew that God wanted to give that to them, and they knew God had done promised that unto their fathers. They were not ignorant of the truth of the Word of God. They had done been taught that. God desired for them to have this. And God was going to give it to them. Now, they didn't get it because they rebelled. But their children did. And I want to say that we can have the victory if we'll learn to believe God, obey that authority, and look to those blessings. Remember those blessings that God has blessed us with. Remember how God can give us victory in our life. Remember how God has given us victory in our life. If we'll continue to remember those times that we've been through, it'll help us to get through the next time. Let's stand for a